Baraboo. W279 EG Reedsburg. We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good morning, everybody. Grace, peace, and welcome to you all on this perfectly lovely Sunday morning. Whether you're here with us in the sanctuary, or watching on our YouTube channel, or listening on the radio, we're happy to have you along and hope you will join us whenever you can. A couple of announcements before we continue. Our liturgist this morning is Marcy Thurwachter. Radio sponsor for today, two sponsors, Stephen Marcy Thurwachter, in memory of the April 7th birthday of Marcy's mother, Shirley Maley, and Jamie and Karen Whitwer, in memory of the birthday of Jamie's dad, Clifford Whitwer. There will be no adult Bible study today. There will be next week, though. I'll be back on schedule next week for that. I've been asked to let you know that if you brought flowers for the live display, today is a real good day to take them home, because they are nearing the end of their display life, that they'll bring you joy at home. But if you can take them, if any of these are yours, take them with you on your way out today. The Sunday School is still looking for donations for Mabel's building mission, for building homes in Mexico. If you'd like more information about that, check in with Margaret McFarland when you see her. And most importantly for today, we have a baptism later this morning at 11:30, because of the necessity of the farm life. You know, you can't always be placed at 9 o'clock in the morning. So the baptism will be here in the sanctuary at 11:30 for Jack Nicholas Endress. And then following the baptism, the family is providing a lunch downstairs in the fellowship hall, and you're all invited for both of those events, to witness the baptism and to join then in a time of fellowship following downstairs. Scott had an announcement for us.
I just want to share a quick update on our Origins of the Old Testament class. We were scheduled to meet this Wednesday, but there is a conflict. We won't be able to, so we're pushing the class out a week. We will meet on the 24th and the 1st. And there were several folks who had approached me, weren't able to make our first class. So on the 24th, we're going to play parts 1 and 2 so that you can catch up. So if you weren't able to make it, you can still come and not miss a thing. And then we'll finish with part 3 on the 1st. Okay, thank you.
And I would encourage you, too, to be there. It's a good class, good material. I want to read for you, unless there are any other announcements. Yes, there is, Deb.
Members and ministry meeting this Thursday at the church here at 11 o'clock, for those that can make it.
Okay, a members and ministry meeting this Thursday at 11 o'clock here in the church, over in the library or downstairs, or where do you meet?
On the inside of the building, downstairs.
Okay, over on this side. Thank you. Anything else? Let me read for you then, when I find it. This is the welcome statement for this week that First Church sends out to the whole world. Accept one another, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. That's St. Paul from the book of Romans. We at First United Church of Christ, Sauk City, have been embraced by the inclusive love of Jesus, and so we strive to be a welcoming presence in Sauk City and beyond. We invite anyone and everyone to worship and serve with us, everyone who covenants with us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly in the way of Jesus will be a valued member of this fellowship without regard to sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, race or faith background. And in case you didn't know, that means all of you and everybody else who hears. So now let us take just a moment to sit and breathe. Close your eyes if you'd like to, but settle into your seat. Let the burdens of the day move away and just breathe in the presence of God. Marcia will lead us in her call to worship this morning. If you're able, would you please stand as we read together?
We come as seekers,
unsure of what we seek.
We come as followers,
not understanding the one we follow.
We come to worship,
even though we don't know how.
Leader, O Holy One, by your grace,
meet us where we are.
Meet us here.
Meet us now.
Amen.
Our first hymn this morning will be unfamiliar to a lot of us, I assume. This is Christ Be Our Light. It's not in our hymnal, but the words will be on the screen.
Pastor Brad, all five verses?
All five verses.
I'm going to play through it one time so you can hear the melody.
Thank you.
join me, please, in the morning prayer? Creator God, you have given us a world overflowing with beauty. Forgive us for what we have spoiled. You have created a world of abundance. Forgive us for what we have hoarded. You have given us each other, this wild variety of shapes and hues and beliefs. Forgive us for what we have divided. Open our eyes to what you saw at the beginning, the indeed goodness of this wonderful world and the beauty of all who live here. Amen. Anyone, St. Paul once said, anyone who is in Christ has become a new creation altogether. The old is finished and gone, and everything has been made new. This is the gospel. This is the good news by which we are redeemed and made whole, and for which we say out loud, thanks be to God. Please. Our invitation to the offering for this morning is the last verse of the 23rd Psalm, and I bet you all know this one by heart, so I'm going to have you close your eyes and say it with me. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We will receive our morning offering at this time. Would you join me, please, in our gratitude prayer? We see your hand at work in the world around us, loving God, and we offer our hands to help. Make use of these gifts, make use of our lives, so that your kingdom will continue to grow on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Be seated, please. We have a choir anthem this morning.
Many years ago, I had the opportunity to participate in an ecumenical choir, not in this area. And during Holy Week,
symbolism there is that Christ was the rose, that he came from the ground, that he loomed, and he became our Savior. Please enjoy.
I've heard you practicing that song for the last few weeks, and I was hoping you would get to hear it. Very nice. Just before the kids come down for their story, let me do an introduction. We have with us today a very old, good friend of mine who's going to do both the kids' story this morning and do the sermon for us. Dennis Noonan, I've known for, my kids are oldest is 38, so it's close to that, right? Our kids grew up together, they were homeschooled together and engaged in things a lot over the years. And Dennis and I have stayed in touch. Dennis has been a good friend, and he has interesting stories He's been all over the place doing all kinds of interesting things, and he's going to bring just a touch of that to us today. But before he does that, he has a time, a story time for the kids. So kids, if you want to come down.
Come on down, kids. Yeah. Where do we sit? Do we sit here? Where do I sit? Oh, look at this.
Oh, Jack, too.
Oh, my gosh. I'm a brand new baby. That's your little brother or sister?
Cousin.
Cousin. How old?
2 months.
2 months. Oh, my gosh. This is great. Well, I am just delighted to be here. I'm going to sit down next to you right here to talk to you a little bit. And you guys did a good job lighting candles. Thank you, too. And, I'd like to begin by playing a game. You guys like to play games? Okay. It's called I'm Thinking of a Number. And I want you to think of a number. I'm going to think of a number between 1 and 4. And I want all of you to think of a number. Don't tell anybody. Between 1 and 4. And then put a hand behind your back with that number of fingers on it. Okay, everybody there, if you can do that? You might not be able to do that because you're holding your little one. But you can tell me your number. All right, does everybody have a number?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on the count of three, let's hold it up. 1, 2, 3. Well, there's a 3, there's a 2, there's a 3, there's a 3, there's a 1 and 2, all kinds of thank you. Well, my number that I picked was 3. And a couple of you picked 3 also. And that's my favorite number. And when I was your age, I used to hear stories with the number 3. Have you ever heard a story with the number 3 in it? 3 something? What?
Cousin's age is 3.
Did you ever hear any bedtime stories like the 3 little pigs?
Yeah.
About the 3 blind mice?
Yeah.
What have you heard?
The 3 little bears.
3 little bears, exactly. 3 is kind of an important number. And here in church, 3 is an important number also. And there's kind of a reason. In fact, we were singing about it. And, you know, they call... We sang about Creator, Christ, Redeemer. Have you ever heard God and 3? Have you ever heard those words together? 3 persons in 1 God. That's called the Trinity. And when I was your age, that's really hard to understand. 3 persons in 1 God. I mean, either it's 1 or it's 3. But as you learn, as you grow up, you might hear something about 3. So I wanted to talk a little bit about how to understand God. And that's kind of what we're here, as we sang about. We're trying to figure God out because, you know, God isn't right here. Jesus came, and we can hear about him. So I want you to imagine the number 3, maybe more than anything else, that... You know, we come to learn about God, but I've understood that what we need is imagination. And I think what we older people lose is imagination. So we need you younger people to imagine. So when you go off to learn about God today, I want you to use your imagination and imagine what God might be. Not only what God is, maybe what God does. Maybe God is more of a doer than iser, huh? God might be energy, might be motion. God might be what you find in music. There's 3 notes. And when they're all together, they're beautiful, aren't they? And that's how we find God in beauty. Or the next time you see a juggler juggling balls, those 3 balls are in motion, they flow, they weave, they dance. Maybe that's God, huh? And in our world, God loves, God heals, God saves, God comforts. Those are all things that God does. So thank you. And as you go off, I just want to remind you, use your imagination and share it with us. because we need you to learn about God. Thank you. Is that 2 minutes?
Our scripture reading this morning is from John 20, verses 18 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews,
My fault entirely. I sent you the wrong text.
Oh.
That's yours.
Okay.
Now you get to do no practice.
All right. Switching gears to turn your pages to Deuteronomy 15, verses 7 through 11. If there is among you anyone in need, a member of your community in any of your towns within the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your needy neighbor. You should rather open your hand willingly, lending enough to meet the need, whatever it may be. Be careful that you do not entertain a mean thought, thinking the seventh year, the year of remission, is near, and therefore view your needy neighbor with hostility and give nothing. Your neighbor might cry to the Lord against you, and you would incur guilt. Give liberally and be ungrudging when you do so, for on this account the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. Since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land. This ends our reading.
That's a hard text to pick up for the first time and read it as well as you did, Marcy. Thank you for that, and my apologies. Dennis, we're very grateful to have you here. The pulpit is yours.
Well, thank you, Pastor Brad. And thank you for reading the reading that I had chosen. I was going to leave my notes behind, thinking I was going to have to scramble to ad-lib something here based on that. So, I am delighted to be here this morning. With my wife and I came from, we're in Madison, and to be able to share. Brad told you a little bit about how far back we've gone. And remember one of the first times we met, it was at your house on Cottage Grove Road with our kids for a Halloween party. And coming back, we saw the Northern Lights. First time I'd ever, probably maybe the last time. I don't know if I'll get up that way again, but it was a special moment, and I'll always remember that as a good time. Let's begin. A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." And there ends the gospel. So I'd like to start by telling you a story of my grandmother. Margaret Schmitz went by the name Motsy. And she had sass. She grew up poor in the Ozarks, German community where I was raised. and spent most of her adult life on a river similar to the river here right in front of us. So I love the Wisconsin. It reminds me of the Osage River, if you know, if you've ever been down that way before. And Grandma always had a saying that good things come in threes. And this time of year, that might mean that Grandpa caught enough catfish for us to have a family fish fry, or that one of us 21 grandkids would come to her with enough morel mushrooms to have a good fry with this mushroom season a little ahead of time down our way, or that her batch of homemade lye soap turned out okay. Those are some of the things that she did. So yeah, good things come in threes, and what I want to share this morning is my tradition, and I think one that maybe we all share as church, and when I say as church, the Christian church, of which I come from a different denomination, but we're all members, and we're all united. It's our uniting. Maybe we're on the way, not quite united yet. But what I see is the role of church for all of us. There are three purposes. One is to worship, and that's what we do here. And then the second would be to evangelize, to go out and share the good news, which we find opportunity to do. And the third, which I'd like to talk about, is to serve the poor and the needy. And I must say I've found a great deal of satisfaction over the years in serving, figuring out how to serve in my own way. The gospel reading is what we call, in my tradition, Catholic, is the works of mercy. These are just things you do. These are what we were called to do. Or we're given an opportunity, actually. I see it as more of an invitation. It's not a burden. The joy that I have found and I've seen in others is we share whatever it is, whatever little bit we have, or if we share service, for me, volunteering in different places, growing up and volunteering now. It brings joy. It brings satisfaction. And that's why we do it. Now, growing up, I heard a lot of stories about a woman that I'd like to share a video here in just a minute that reminded me of my sassy grandmother. Her name's Dorothy Day. And she is, she died in 1980, so I would have been alive and when I was young and heard about the things that she was doing. But she is considered, and I consider her, an ordinary person. Now, sometimes when you hear stories about extraordinary people doing extraordinary things, you say, well, that's not for me. But she always intrigued me and even haunts me still to this day as a very ordinary woman doing some extraordinary things. So I'd like to introduce you in just a three-minute video, if we can cue that up.
In many ways, Dorothy Day was a typical grandmother.
I see my grandmother as someone who was very ordinary, but also very extraordinary. I mean, I understood that she was different.
Different because Dorothy Day was so often on the front lines, protesting war and nuclear buildup, creating houses of hospitality for the hungry and homeless, and earning her place on the FBI watch list as a dangerous American.
Yeah, Dorothy Day is a big troublemaker.
As a young journalist, Dorothy Day campaigned for those in need.
Her work keeps putting her front and center in the social movements of the time.
She wrote about workers' rights, child labor. She was attracted to communism, believing it was a way to improve people's lives, all part of a chapter in her own life that would leave its scars. But with the birth of her daughter, Dorothy Day turned from communism and converted to the Catholic faith. There, she discovered a path that for nearly a half century led her to become one of the greatest champions for the poor America has ever known.
She thought, if communism is radical, why shouldn't Christianity be radical? This is radical.
My grandmother always said that she never meant to start houses of hospitality. She never meant to open up soup lines. But what happens when you start writing about these things, people show up at the door.
She wanted the people to exercise their own sense of personal responsibility. You see something that needs to be done, you do it.
but accepting the biblical challenge to be peacemakers also compelled her to become a pacifist without compromise, to use her Catholic worker movement and the newspaper she founded to resist America's intervention in any war. Many believed her behavior was un-American.
She did describe herself as an anarchist.
There's an anarchist dimension to her Christian witness.
Some of the most profound and most rewarding demonstrations that culminated in arrests were with the Catholic worker community.
I think of Dorothy Day as a firecracker that never goes out.
Now this grandmother and anarchist may well be declared a saint.
We'd love to see Dorothy Day a saint.
For both American middle class people and for Catholics, they recognized that something extraordinary was going on. They weren't quite sure what to do with it.
She annoyed people because she challenged them.
She would say, "Don't call me a saint. I don't want to be written off that easily."
Well, I think if you take the Lord's words, you'll find they're pretty rigorous. The Sermon on the Mount may be read with great enjoyment, but when it comes to practicing it, it really is an examination of conscience to see how far we go.
That is a trailer to a longer documentary that I think is available on YouTube if you'd like to see the entire version of it. So about 10 years ago, a group of us in Madison wondered if we could establish a Catholic worker house of hospitality similar to what Dorothy and her co-founder Peter Morin started back in the 1930s. There are around 200 different Catholic worker houses around the United States and in other countries right now. So it's an idea that's caught on. And it's simply to find or to have a community, to have a family setting where people in need can live with people maybe like ourselves that aren't in financial need, and to form a community. So we formed a 501c3, and that was probably 12 years ago. It took 12 years up to last year when we were able to finally purchase a house on the west side of Madison to actually house newcomers. We decided to focus on those coming up from Latin America, Central and South America, that were arriving in large numbers, as you've seen in the news, and having no place to live. How they got here and should they have gotten here and all that, those questions we didn't ask. They were here and they were in need. And our faith called us to take care of them. So we opened in June. We have you'll see in the next video, a three-bedroom house on the west side of Madison. We were able to fundraise enough to get a down payment. And we calculated with the families that have gone in, we give temporary housing while people move in, they get jobs, move out to other apartments once they're able to establish a bit of a presence here. And we've counted over 900 overnights for individuals since we opened June. People that were literally sleeping in their cars or on the streets before we were able to offer anything to them. So I have some more still pictures, but a short video that will show the house and some of the people that we've been able to serve here. So if we could watch that second video.
The Great Turning Catholic Worker is a community on the west side of Madison, composed of two adjacent homes, a family of five, space for guests and a volunteer, as well as gardens and chickens.
Our community is rooted in the tradition of the Catholic Worker, which was founded during the Great Depression by Dorothy Day and Peter Morin in New York City. The aim of the Catholic Worker is to live in accordance with the justice and charity of Jesus Christ. Here at the Great Turning, our first 4 years were spent primarily living out family life while opposing systems of war and the destruction of the environment.
In June of 2023, we had the opportunity to purchase the house next door, expanding our work to include providing safe and welcoming housing to people in need. This housing is a safety net for people who are experiencing homelessness and don't have other options. We prioritize mothers with their children, refugees, folks seeking asylum, and immigrants. Guests have been referred to us by St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Parish and the Catholic Multicultural Center. As part of the life of this community, we host monthly roundtable discussions, potluck community meals, work days, and other events.
In the words of Peter Morin, we are trying to build a society where it is easier for people to be good. Please come and participate in the vibrant life of this local Catholic worker community in whatever ways make sense for you. Sharing a meal, spending some time, providing rides, or helping in the garden. There are ample opportunities to live out faith in action while caring for our neighbors in need.
It hasn't been all roses along the way. We've had a few bumps in the road. Nothing of any major significance, but if you can imagine trying to gather enough funds together along with zoning laws. One of the big things that made this possible recently were the zoning laws were changed in Madison to allow more unrelated people to be in the same household, and that was because of the housing crunch in Madison. But it did give us an opportunity, and we do everything legally with permit, above board. Our guests all have a legal status to be in this country, at least temporarily. That all could change in the next year, depending on what Congress might decide. But it's worked overall very well. We made incredible friends with people that have made a hard journey. They have traveled through, what, 7 different countries, mostly coming from Venezuela right now, and through a dangerous area called the Darien Gap. And if you hear about that on the news, it's about 60 miles of horrible jungle. The stories they have told, some of them I won't repeat. They're horrible things that have happened to them, kidnapping, assaults along the way. So these are people that are survivors that come here wanting to work. And they have all quickly found jobs, service industry jobs, of course. The reward has been strong, I guess is what I'm trying to point out here. You're in a small town here that has a similar ministry, and I think some of you know Shirley Kelter, I think, might be involved in Micah 6:8, the Ramsons. John and Sarah run a similar work here. So no, you don't have to run off to Madison. You don't have to go far to get involved. And yes, there are all kind of different ways, you know, materially that we donate. We all pay taxes, right? And there are social service agencies. But Dorothy and Peter practice something called personalism. You know, during the 1930s, when they started the government welfare programs, were coming on board, but they didn't think that was enough. And not only that we should do more, but we can do more. And this is my own take on it: is there opportunities for incredible meaning and purpose? And as we get older, you know, we retire. Some of you are there. Sometimes you get up in the morning and wonder, what's it all about? What's my purpose today? What should I be up to? So I offer this as an opportunity, whether it's locally, you know, whether you want to do it in your own community or someplace else. It's something that for me I found great joy in and continue with my wife and other people to serve the poor in this very special way, because what we do for the least, we do for God. I do believe that, and that motivates me. That's what keeps me going. I'd like to close by being a bit annoying, as Peter and Dorothy have taught me well, and to leave you with this quote from Peter Morin. Peter was a farmer who came over from France, a peasant farmer, to join Dorothy in this whole movement. Dorothy actually did most of the work and most of the writing, but Peter had his own writings too. And this was an observation that he made somewhere around 1935. And he said, In the first centuries of Christianity, the hungry were fed at a personal sacrifice. The naked were clothed at a personal sacrifice. And the homeless were sheltered at a personal sacrifice. And because the poor were fed, clothed, and sheltered at a personal sacrifice, the pagans used to say about the Christians, "See how they love one another." In our own day, the poor are no longer fed, clothed, and sheltered at personal sacrifice, but at the expense of the taxpayer. And because the poor are no longer fed, clothed, and sheltered at personal sacrifice, the pagans say about Christians, "See how they pass the buck." So again, that was one written a long time ago perhaps, but one that haunts me still. Can it be personal? I say yes. Thank you.
Our invitation to the communion table this morning is our song, communion song, "At This Table." The words will be on the screen for you. Come now, Holy Spirit of God,
as you were present at creation, be present now, and let these gifts of bread and cup become for us the bread of life and the cup of blessing. As you were sent by Jesus to accompany us on our journey, be present now to transform the community that is your church, sharing this bread and cup into the one body of Christ. Amen. We come to this table every week, remembering first that night when Jesus sat with his friends at his last meal with them, how he took a loaf of bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. He said, take and eat. This is my body. It is for you. Then after supper, he took a cup, and he blessed the cup and gave that to his friends, saying, take and drink. This cup is my blood of the covenant, poured out for the forgiveness of sin for many. We come, eat this bread, drink from this cup, in the company of each other, and also in the presence of Jesus himself, who invites us to this table. Come, everything is now ready.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279EG Reedsburg.